content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Vision News. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from fightingblindness.org, RPE stem cell trials begin for dry AMD. From AYPF.org, school discipline disparities, I will read the sections on key policies and programs yielding results. From JournalNow.com, a Winston-Salem man forced to leave a mall with his guide dog sues the city. From Cool Blind Tech, Diablo Immortal has new accessibility features. Microsoft announces new accessories for accessible use of PCs, and Apple announces its new accessibility features. So let's get started. From fightingblindness.org, Luxa, L-U-X-A, doses first participant in clinical trial of RPE stem cells for dry AMD patients. Luxa Biotechnology has announced transplantation of retinal pigment epithelial stem cell-derived RPE, RPESC-RPE-4W, in the first participant in its Phase 1/2 clinical trial for people with dry age-related macular degeneration, dry AMD. Dr. Rajesh Rao, RAO, the trial principal investigator at the Kellogg Eye Center, University of Michigan, transplanted 50,000 RPESC-RPE-4W cells under the macula of a legally blind participant with dry AMD. The 18-participant trial, starting in Ann Arbor, Michigan, is the first in-human study of RPESC-RPE-4W for the treatment of a retinal disease. The trial is evaluating three different cell doses, 50,000, 150,000, and 250,000 cells. RPE cells provide critical support functions, including nutrition and waste management, for the photoreceptor cells that initiate vision in the retina. In macular conditions such as AMD, the dysfunction and degeneration of RPE cells leads to loss of photoreceptor cells and central vision that can progress to legal blindness. Sally Temple, Ph.D., and Jeff Stern, M.D., Ph.D., scientific co-founders of Luxa and the NeuroStem Cell Institute, NSCI, explained that the RPESC-4PE-4W cell product used in the trial consists of progenitor stage cells, not mature RPE cells. The decision to use progenitor stage cells reflected years of study in the NSCI research labs that demonstrated progenitor cells derived from the adult human RPESC are more effective at rescuing vision in animal models than fully mature RPE cells. The RPESC-RPE-4W cell product is derived from adult human RPE stem cells that haven't quite become mature RPE cells, but whose fate is determined to produce RPE. These progenitor cells destined to produce RPE progeny show no evidence of unwanted cell growth or tumor formation. The RPESC-RPE-4W cells used in the Luxa trial were obtained from donated eyes deposited in eye banks. Cells obtained within 36 hours of the donor's passing are used to make cell banks that are expanded and frozen for subsequent transplantation. Clinical manufacture is carried out at the Cedars-Sinai Biomanufacturing Center in Los Angeles. EMES Corporation, E-M-M-E-S, manages the trial, bringing extensive experience with clinical measures of AMD. The trial is co-sponsored by the National Eye Institute of the National Institutes of Health under a Regenerative Medicine Innovation Project Cooperative Agreement. Several companies and researchers are evaluating stem cell-derived RPE cells in clinical trials for the treatment of AMD. Mature RPE cells in these trials are usually derived from human embryonic stem cells or induced pluripotent stem cells, the latter of which are developed by taking a small sample of skin or blood cells and genetically tweaking them so they revert back to a stem cell state. The Luxa product is different because it is derived from a unique adult stem cell that is normally present in the adult human eye. Over the last several years, Drs. Temple and Stern performed extensive studies of human RPESCs to understand how these cells can be harnessed for retinal repair in conditions such as dry AMD. Dr. Stern expressed his hope that the first-in-human clinical trial will result in outcomes that reflect the highly promising preclinical findings they have made in the research lab. If we can successfully repair the RPE layers by cell transplantation, we can potentially provide meaningful improvement in vision and in the lives of patients suffering from dry AMD, which is our goal. From American Youth Policy Forum, AYPF.org, School Discipline Disparities Info Hub. Key Policies Driving Change, Section 1, Beyond Suspensions, Examining School Discipline Policies and Connections to the School-to-Prison Pipeline for Students of Color with Disabilities, Use of Positive Behavior Intervention Supports, Restorative Justice Principles, and Similar Disciplinary Practices that Support Alternatives to Exclusionary School Discipline generally result in improved student and staff perceptions of school safety, as reflected in school climate surveys. When teachers receive training and supports to implement these practices effectively, the use of these alternatives to generally result in effective classroom management. Page 171. Section 2, Socializing Schools, Addressing Racial Disparities in Discipline Through Restorative Justice. This study found that the systemic implementation of restorative justice at the school and district levels, coupled with the reform of discipline policies, can play a key role in addressing disproportionality in discipline outcomes. Also, the positive impact of restorative practices not only addresses disproportionate discipline, but also can be correlated with increased academic achievement. Page 2. Section 3, the Center for Civil Rights Remedies. The Center for Civil Rights Remedies at the Civil Rights Project's website includes several reports and data analyses culminating in policy strategies to address school discipline disparities. Section 4, what are the benefits of positive school discipline? Positive school discipline is a comprehensive approach that uses discipline to teach rather than punish, and as a result helps students succeed and thrive in school. Schools that take this approach promote positive student behavior while preventing negative and risky behaviors. It is integrated into the policies, programs, and practices of a school and is applied system-wide in the classroom, school, and community to create a safe, supportive learning environment for all students. Section 5, Strategies to Support Equitable School Discipline. In this report, Hanover Research reviews best practices in supporting student discipline and behavioral outcomes with a focus on equity in discipline interventions. Page 1. Recommendations include the use of positive behavioral interventions, PBIS, and social-emotional learning, SEL, while simultaneously increasing educators' cultural awareness. Additionally, the report provides guidance on collecting and analyzing evaluation data to support improvements in disciplinary policies. Programs Yielding Significant Results. Section 1, Taking Restorative Practices School-Wide, Insights from 3 Schools in Denver. Through interviews and focus groups with staff members at 3 Denver schools that have successfully implemented restorative practices, RP, 4 essential strategies for taking this approach school-wide were identified: strong principal vision and commitment to RP, explicit efforts to generate staff buy-in to this conflict resolution approach, continuous and intensive professional development opportunities, and the allocation of school funds for a full-time coordinator of RP at the site. Additional approaches that supported school-wide implementation of RP are also included. Page 4. Section 2, Preparing Schools to Meet the Needs of Students Coping with Trauma and Toxic Stress. Whole school social and emotional learning strategies can offer important counterbalances to the ways in which trauma undermines students' development of self-regulation and interpersonal skills. Page 4. School-based supports are likely to be more effective and culturally responsive when students have a voice in decision-making. Giving students a voice in school decision-making is beneficial for their social development and educational outcomes and may lead to an improvement in school climate. Page 6. Section 3, Restorative Justice at Fremont High School, Oakland, California. Since implementing restorative justice practices in 2018, Fremont High School in Oakland, California has significantly reduced incidents that lead to suspension. Once notorious for fights, Fremont students now report that they feel safe and have trusting relationships with adults. Developmental Relationships Survey 2018 to 19, 2019 to 20, 2020 to 21. Section 4, Voices of Youth in Chicago Education, VOYCE. VOICE led successful efforts to create the nation's most comprehensive statewide school discipline reform, SB 100, ending zero tolerance at all publicly funded schools in Illinois, placing stronger standards on the use of exclusionary discipline, ending practices such as discipline fines and counseling out, and creating a framework to enable the thoughtful expansion of restorative practices in schools. They also transformed the Chicago Public Schools Student Code of Conduct to end zero tolerance, create shifts away from exclusionary discipline, and promote the use of restorative practices across the district. Each of the sections I listed are hot links to the relative documentation for those studies. From journalnow.com, police forced a blind man and his service dog to leave a store in Winston-Salem, he says. Now he's suing. This story was initially published in September. A blind man is suing the city of Winston-Salem, alleging that two police officers forced him and his guide dog, Forte, to leave a store in Haynes Mall last year after a store worker objected to the dog being there. If Wilmer Oliva, O-L-I-V-A, of Winston-Salem hadn't left the store on November 27, 2020, the lawsuit says he would have been arrested and charged with trespassing. Oliva, 36, wants a federal judge to declare that Winston-Salem violated provisions of the Americans with Disabilities Act and Rehabilitation Act, which allows service dogs in public places, according to the lawsuit. Under the Americans with Disabilities Act, a person qualified to receive non-discriminatory services from a public entity cannot be subjected to discrimination, the lawsuit says. Under the Rehabilitation Act, cities that receive federal money must respect the rights of people with disabilities. Oliva is also seeking a jury trial, compensatory damages, court costs, and payment of his attorney fees. All I want is justice, Oliva said. I just want to make sure that no one with a service animal endures what I did that day. Christopher Hodgson of Raleigh, an attorney for Disability Rights North Carolina and one of Oliva's attorneys, filed the lawsuit in the U.S. District Court in Greensboro. Disability Rights North Carolina, a nonprofit organization, defends the rights of people with disabilities in the state. The WSPD should have known better than to forcibly threaten to arrest a blind shopper for simply using his guide dog, as they did to Mr. Oliva, Hodgson said. Oliva is legally blind and works at IFB Solutions in Winston-Salem. Forte, his service dog, was professionally trained by the Seeing Eye of Morristown, New Jersey, a philanthropic organization that breeds and trains guide dogs for blind people, according to the lawsuit. His blindness and need for navigation assistance are readily obvious, the lawsuit says. Lori Sykes, the city's public safety attorney, said the city hasn't been served with the lawsuit. I'm sure it has by now. We are not able to comment on pending litigation, Sykes said. Chief Katrina Thompson of the Winston-Salem Police Department couldn't be reached for comment on the lawsuit. Earlier visit. Oliva initially entered Jimmy Jazz, a clothing store, in Haynes Mall in October 2020, about a month before the incident during which police were called. Forte was with him. Jimmy Jazz Corporation, which is based in Secaucus, New Jersey, is not listed as a defendant in the lawsuit. No representative of the clothing store could be reached for comment. The store manager told Oliva to leave the store because of Forte, the lawsuit says. Oliva complied, left the store, and contacted the Consumer Protection Division of the NC Department of Justice. Oliva told the agency that he had experienced disability-based discrimination at the store. After Oliva filed his complaint, a Jimmy Jazz official assured Oliva that he and Forte could return to the store. The official also said signs would be posted welcoming service animals, according to the lawsuit. After Oliva received those assurances, he and Forte went again to the store on November 27, 2020. The store manager saw Oliva and insisted that Oliva leave the store because Forte wasn't wearing a vest, indicating that she is a service animal, according to the lawsuit. Forte was wearing a guide dog harness and handle with the seeing eye on it, the lawsuit says. Oliva told the store manager that Forte was his guide dog, and the laws regarding service animals don't require those animals to wear vests. The store manager then ordered Oliva to leave the store or she would call the police, the lawsuit says. Oliva again asserted his right to have his service animal with him. The store staff then contacted Haynes Mall Security and Winston-Salem Police, according to the suit. Two Haynes Mall Security employees then arrived at the store, and Oliva told them that he had a right to be in a public space with his service dog. Oliva also provided information to the security officers, information about service animals to help them understand the right to use service animals in public places, the lawsuit says. The security employees agreed that Forte was allowed in the store, the lawsuit says. Two police officers then arrived. One officer asked the store manager if she wanted Oliva to leave. When the manager said yes, the officer ordered Oliva to leave the store. That officer also asked a Haynes Mall security employee if she wanted Oliva to leave Haynes Mall as well, the lawsuit says. The security employee said no, according to the suit. Oliva told both officers that the store was a public place and the store's policy permitted customers to use service animals, according to the lawsuit. Oliva also provided the officers with the information about service animals. An officer then told Oliva, according to the lawsuit, that he and his partner weren't interested in service animals or his materials about service animals. The police officers were concerned only with the store's right to remove whomever they want for whatever reason, because the store is private property, the lawsuit says. One of the officers then gave Oliva an ultimatum. You have two options, to leave the store. You can leave here on your own, or you can leave here in handcuffs, and you can go to jail for trespassing, according to the lawsuit. Oliva complied with the officer's orders. The officers told Oliva that he would be charged with trespassing if he ever returned to the store, the lawsuit says. The lawsuit alleges that the city violated the Americans with Disabilities Act and the Rehabilitation Act. The Rehabilitation Act requires cities that receive federal money not to discriminate against people with disabilities, the lawsuit says. Last year, Winston-Salem received $22 million in federal money. Under these federal laws, the city is prohibited from limiting or interfering with service animal rights and is obligated to modify its policies, practices, and procedures to permit the use of service animals in public places, the lawsuit says. The city didn't comply with federal mandates and unlawfully discriminated against Oliva in violation of these laws, the lawsuit says. The city infringed upon Oliva's rights to use a service animal. Now from coolblindtech.com, Diablo Immortal launches with suite of accessibility features, posted May 30th. The Diablo team at Blizzard talked about some of the accessibility features they've built into Diablo Immortal to make hell that works for everyone. You will be able to play Diablo Immortal with controllers on both mobile devices and on PC, Blizzard wrote in its accessibility log. In addition to controller support, Blizzard is also sending Diablo Immortal reviewers a Razer Kishi controller, that's RazerKishi controller, that turns your phone into a Switch or Steam Deck-like apparatus. Chatting with friends is a feature designed to be as accessible as possible, featuring native voice chat transcription and text-to-speech functions. The addition of PC support was in itself a choice made in part for accessibility reasons. Diablo franchise general manager Rod Ferguson, that's with two S's, said, "It's important that Diablo Immortal reach as many players as possible." Diablo Immortal launched on iOS, Android, and PC in open beta June 2nd. Microsoft unveils new accessibility accessories for PC, posted May 30th. Microsoft revealed a brand new line of adaptive accessories at its annual Ability Summit, along with its announcement of the new Inclusive Tech Lab. Microsoft has unveiled a range of all-new accessibility peripherals for PC, each of which is designed for users with disabilities. The company has been at the forefront of studying, creating, and promoting accessibility in the last few years. In 2018, Microsoft made a commitment to players with disabilities with the launch of the Xbox Adaptive Controller, which was designed especially for players with limited mobility. Since then, the company has been expanding its accessibility research and development with other initiatives, hardware updates, and even an accessibility evaluation system for its game developers. What are the adaptive accessories? During Microsoft's 12th annual Ability Summit, this company revealed a brand new line of adaptive accessories for disabled users. Built around the three main components, the peripherals are designed to replace or augment a traditional mouse and keyboard. The Microsoft Adaptive Mouse can be extensively customized with the company's adaptive mouse tail and thumb support, or even with 3D printed tails for further personalization. The Microsoft Adaptive Hub can link with up to 4 of the new adaptive buttons, which can be topped with D-pads, joysticks, dual switches, and more via 3D printing. The Adaptive Hub itself also includes 3 separate profiles for different accessibility devices and works with standard 3.5mm assistive tech switches. What is the new Inclusive Tech Lab? Microsoft also announced its new Inclusive Tech Lab and detailed its purpose. As an expansion of the company's previous Xbox Accessibility Lab established in 2017, the facility will be a larger space that is better equipped to accommodate more visitors and get them involved in the product-making process. Described as highly modular, the lab is built to adapt to different needs over time and features discussion and design sessions on products and services. Microsoft states that the lab is meant to be an embassy for people with disabilities rather than a space about them. How can tech companies recognize and adapt to users with disabilities? Accessibility is now a hot-button issue in both gaming and tech, and getting companies to recognize and adapt to users with disabilities continues to be an uphill battle for many. It has to be said that Microsoft is responsible for many notable steps forward in the field of accessibility, and that it is committed to making these steps before most other big tech corporations. Encouragingly, the company seems to be scaling up its accessibility department, and that decision could go a long way toward a more inclusive gaming community. Apple announces new accessibility features coming soon to an Apple near you, also posted May 20th. It's that time of year in honor of Global Accessibility Awareness Day. Apple is previewing a number of new accessibility features coming to iPhone, iPad, Apple Watch, and Mac later this year. The company says that these new features will bring additional ways for users with disabilities to navigate, connect, and get the most out of Apple products. What is door detection? One of the new features is called door detection, which Apple says can help users locate a door upon arriving at a new destination. Door detection can help users understand how far they are from a door and describe its attributes, including whether it's open or closed. If the door is closed, the feature can inform the user whether the door can be opened by pushing, turning a knob, or pulling a handle. Door detection can also read signs and symbols around the door, such as room numbers or the presence of an accessible entrance symbol. The door detection feature works with a combination of LiDAR, your iPhone or iPad's camera, and machine learning. What is live captions? For the deaf and hard of hearing community, Apple has announced live captions for the iPhone, iPad, and Mac. These features work by captioning audio content in real time, including FaceTime calls, any other social media or video app, streaming media content, or even having a conversation with someone next to them. Live captions in FaceTime attributes auto-transcribed dialogue to call participants, so group video calls become even more convenient for users with hearing disabilities. When live captions are used for calls on Mac, users have the option to type a response and have it spoken aloud in real time to others who are part of the conversation. And because live captions are generated on the device, user information stays private and secure. What is Apple Watch mirroring? For Apple Watch users, Apple has announced a new Apple Watch mirroring feature. This is described as a way to make the Apple Watch more accessible than ever for people with physical and motor disabilities. Apple explains that Apple Watch mirroring allows users to control Apple Watch using iPhone's assistive features, like voice control and switch control, and uses inputs including voice commands, sound actions, head tracking, or external made-for-iPhone switches as alternatives to tapping the Apple Watch display. Apple Watch mirroring uses a combination of hardware and software capabilities, including advances built on AirPlay. The key here is that users who rely on these mobility features can access things like blood oxygen, heart rate, mindfulness, and more from their Apple Watch. What is Apple Watch Quick Actions? Quick Actions is another new feature coming to Apple Watch. With new Quick Actions on Apple Watch, double pinch gesture can answer or end a phone call, dismiss a notification, take a photo, play or pause media in the Now Playing app, and start, pause, or resume a workout. This builds on the innovative technology used in Assistive Touch on Apple Watch, which gives users with upper body limb differences the option to control Apple Watch with gestures like a pinch or a clench without having to tap the display. Are there any more new accessibility features coming? Other new accessibility features announced by Apple include VoiceOver. Apple's industry-leading screen reader for blind and low vision users is adding support for more than 20 additional locales and languages, including Bengali, Bulgarian, Catalan, Ukrainian, and Vietnamese. With Buddy Controller, users can ask a care provider or friend to help them play a game. Buddy Controller combines any two game controllers into one, so multiple controllers can drive the input for a single player. With Siri Pause Time, users with speech disabilities can adjust how long Siri waits before responding to a request. Voice Control Spelling Mode gives users the option to dictate custom spellings using letter-by-letter input. Sound recognition can be customized to recognize sounds that are specific to a person's environment, like their home's unique alarm, doorbell, or appliances. The Apple Books app will offer new themes and introduce customization options, such as bolding text and adjusting line character and word spacing for an even more accessible reading experience. These features are coming in software updates later this year, Apple says. You can learn more in Apple's press release. Sony adds screen reader to camera, posted May 20th. The Sony A7R IV, that's 4, is now more accessible for photographers who are blind and visually impaired thanks to its screen reader feature. Launched in 2021, the Sony A7R IV has been a popular choice among professionals and enthusiastic hobbyists looking for a high-resolution camera. With a 61-megapixel sensor, 4K 60p video recording, and 10 frames per second burst shooting, it's a brilliant all-rounder that is now more accessible to those with visual impairments. Although there is room for improvement, the screen reader simply reads out the words in the menu system, allowing the user to hear the options available. You can turn the feature on or off by going to Menu, Setup, Accessibility, Screen Reader, and once set up, you can also adjust the speed and volume of the voice. For those who might struggle to turn it on in the first place, it's recommended that you plug your camera into a larger monitor or TV via an HDMI cable so the menu text is easier to read. Sony is still improving the screen reader feature, but it definitely has taken a step in the right direction to be more inclusive. What once would have been impossible, Sony has made possible by giving some independence back to people with vision loss. Hopefully more camera manufacturers will follow suit, and those who are visually impaired will be able to have a choice of cameras suited to their needs. The June edition of the Blind Post Classified News will be emailed on the afternoon of June 9th. Important, there will not be a July issue, so please post any early August notices in the June issue. Read further down on how to sponsor and submit ads, notices, and announcements. Email all submissions to foodlady@theblindpost.com on or before June 6th. Do you have a personal story living as a blind person that might be of interest to the Blind Post? How do you travel? Thank you. All current subscribers to date, 1,203. We've run out of time for today's episode of Vision News. Be sure to listen next week. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Doris Hyde reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Vision News is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the